You're listening to Stateside. I'm Lester Graham. Paleontologists say fossil records show there have been five mass extinctions in the past 540 million years ago. A paper in Nature characterizes mass extinctions as times when the Earth loses more than three-quarters of its species in a relatively geologically short interval. Biologists now suggest that a sixth mass extinction might be underway. Joining us to talk about this is Johannes Fofopoulos. He's an associate professor at the School of Natural Resources and Environment at the University of Michigan. So what are scientists in the field, people like you, seeing that persuades you that we might be on the cusp of or actually in the midst of a sixth mass extinction?
Well, this is a complex question, but at this point, there are multiple lines of evidence from different parts of the world and using different kinds of scientific approaches, whether these are general estimates as opposed to species counts, that all are pointing in the same direction, which is we see a very consistent move towards decline in species richness, in populations, and eventually in species, which result eventually in species extinctions.
I want to ask you about the definition a little more. It indicates in a geologically short interval. So where do you start measuring something like that? I mean, do you go back to the woolly mammoths several millennia ago, or do you start a few centuries ago with hunting species to extinction or wiping out habitat? How do you measure it?
So basically what you see is you can start measuring, counting extinctions going back to the first expansion of human populations across the planet, arrival of Native Americans in the Americas, maybe 13, 14,000 years ago. But you don't even have to go, and there are a lot of species that went extinct back then. The evidence at this point about these, what we call Pleistocene extinctions, is mixed. Some lines of evidence suggest that humans were responsible for that, hunting, overkill, basically. At the same time, the climate was changing. So it was probably one of these 1-2 punches where it was very hard for the large mammal populations to withstand the dual assaults. But the real big story is what's happening these days. So if you look at this pattern of human activities, you see this exponential increase in impact. And matching that is the number of extinctions. So what we're seeing is species going extinct at an accelerated rate. These days, there are probably thousands of species that go extinct every year.
Wow.
And part of this is we don't know a lot of these species. They haven't been formally described just because there aren't enough systematists and taxonomists around to actually catalog them. But just because we haven't described them doesn't mean they're not disappearing.
So it's been suggested that some of these previous mass extinctions have been because of, you know, huge asteroid strikes or a real quick shift in the Earth's climate. What are the causes of this sixth mass extinction that scientists believe we're seeing right now?
That answer is pretty simple. It's definitely humans who are responsible for this. Now, there are three or four different primary mechanisms. So there is climate change and ecosystem stress. There is overkill, overharvest, literally like killing animals, removing them from wild populations. There are invasive species, and the most important of all, habitat destruction.
What do you mean ecosystem stress? What factors into that?
So this is a general term that scientists use to describe a cluster of drivers of extinction that are not specifically tied to a location. So this is things like pollution, like endocrine disruptors. These are chemicals that mess with the physiology of vertebrates, for example. This includes nitrogen deposition, which is a global phenomenon that's impacting plant populations. So there's, and global climate change is one of them. And all of these are sort of like not tied to a specific location, and they're leading to species extinctions worldwide, even in areas that are very far away from humans per se.
So in what ways, give me some examples of how we're seeing this happen in Michigan.
In Michigan, the situation varies a little bit between the north and the south of the state. habitats and ecosystems in the north of the state tend to be in pretty good shape.
Although they've been altered a lot over the last couple of centuries.
Absolutely. So they saw dramatic changes when all of the vast majority of the Michigan forests were clear-cut. That was huge trauma for the species communities. I would say, given that reality, the present impact of humans is relatively minor. I mean, it doesn't mean there aren't problems, for sure. Inappropriate forest practices are certainly an issue in areas of the UP. But I would say that the biggest problems we see in the southern third of the state, southeast Michigan, basically the areas where we see the highest human densities. In those areas, we have great problems because of habitat degradation, because of invasive species, because of development. So if you look at the way cities have expanded, in the halo of suburbs around Detroit, it has been a lot of areas have been converted.
But have we seen extinctions in Michigan?
Yes, there are species that have disappeared, either that occurred only in the Great Lakes region and that have now completely disappeared. There are, for example, fish species that are gone, do not exist anymore. What we see more is species that have a distribution across the Midwest and that have now disappeared from Michigan. So there are various plant and animal species, most of them invertebrates, sometimes vertebrates. A good example would be passenger pigeons, for example. Passenger pigeons used to be the most common bird species in this part of the world. There are flocks, there are hundreds of millions of birds big. They're amazing. There's nothing like that exists today. And they were hunted to extinction. They are not the most common bird of that time in the 19th century is completely gone because of human activities.
I've covered projects where developers complain about regulations and restrictions. Their work is stopped by what they see as a minor wetland or some small fish or slug. Why does it matter if we lose some of these species that don't seem to be key to human survival?
Well, that's what people might think. But the problem is that research is increasingly demonstrating that we depend for proper ecological function and for appropriate ecosystem services to species we may not be aware of. Typical example is I had colleagues that 20 years ago were doing research on pollinators, and people thought that was very academic and very relevant. And it turns out pollinators, bees, insects, flies, are extremely important for pollinating our crops. This is something we discovered in the last few years. What you see increasingly is farmers raising crops, having nice plants, and not being able to harvest any fruit because the plants don't set fruit because there are no pollinators. So these are ecosystem services that were being offered by invertebrates. We were unaware of them, but this doesn't mean they didn't do something that for us was is critical, is important.
So if I understand you, we've got this intricate interwoven web that we might depend on by 3 degrees, you know, away from us, but actually has some impact on our own lives. We just don't know how.
Absolutely. Or often the just because the link isn't obvious to us, there's a tremendous lack of knowledge, doesn't mean it's not important. It's the kind of thing where you really want to keep the pieces of the watch, so make sure you can actually reassemble it rather than losing some pieces and then suddenly realizing your watch isn't working anymore.
So I think anybody who has learned about this sixth mass extinction, it's got to be a little concerned. But then it comes down to, well, you know, I can't stop the smokestack industries from polluting. There's a lot of things I can't do. That's out of my hands. So what can someone do that they have control of, you know, in your own home, in your own backyard? What can we do?
Right. Couple of things. So I think one is make sure that we communicate to our representatives and the local politicians the importance for preserving local species communities, local habitats. Being a responsible citizen and participating in the political process is really important. Second, write letters, donate money to local conservation organizations, and try to live a green lifestyle. What does that mean? Reduce less and use less energy. try to commute shorter distances, eat perhaps less meat. Red meat has a tremendous impact on the climate and on the land. These are all small things that we can do to reduce our footprint on the planet.
That's Johannes Fofopoulos. He's an associate professor of conservation biology and disease ecology at the School of Natural Resources and Environment at the University of Michigan. Johannes, it's good to see you again.
Thank you. It was a pleasure to be here.